T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We get ready for week two, even though week two has already started technically with the Browns and Bengals, but we get you set for your fantasy football weekend. Joining me again, seems like it was yesterday, but it was really a year ago, Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Sports. Jamie, how you been?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Number one, the Marlon Mack injury stinks, mostly for him, obviously, and then we know the anyone who drafted him. We saw Nyheim Hines score a couple of touchdowns. We know about Jonathan Taylor. How do you see both of these guys benefiting, and who's going to benefit the most right now from the opportunity created by this horrible injury to Marlon Mack?
Yeah, I think they both benefit in different ways. Taylor was a huge surprise in how much they used him in the passing game last week. I don't think you're going to, you know, if you're the Colts, you want to be, you know, chasing points like that. No team does. But, you know, the fact that they were able to trust him to that level, because that was kind of the knock on him coming into the NFL, was that he wasn't going to be a featured pass catcher, even a top-level pass catcher. And so the 6 catches on 6 targets was fantastic. But he's going to be their lead rusher now. You know, that was going to be Mack's role, and then they're going to work Taylor in. So now Taylor should be the every-down guy from a running down standpoint. Nyheim Hines is always going to have his role as the hurry-up guy, the pass-catching guy in obvious situations. You know, the fact that he did score the 2 touchdowns was great, but it was more the rushing touchdown that was surprising. So he was a guy that I sort of pegged in that 70-catch range, and I was comparing him coming into the season like a poor man's Tariq Cohen, poor man's James White, you know, those type of guys that don't do a lot of carries but certainly work in the passing game. And he's on his way to being that type of player. So right now he's on pace for 128 catches. It's pretty impressive. He's not going to get that, obviously, but I think 70 catches is well within reach. So he's better in PPR, but Taylor should be good in both.
A couple of other running backs I want to discuss. If he wasn't drafted, in one of the leagues I was in, he wasn't drafted, Benny Snell was kind of the hot waiver wire pickup. How do you see his role moving forward? Connor's health is obviously a little bit of a question, but Benny played very well in the Monday nighter against the Giants. Your thoughts on him and Connor moving forward?
It's an interesting game because, like you said, he played really well. And, you know, all we know of Mike Tomlin's running backs is using one guy. You know, he's one of the few coaches that leans on one guy. He did it with Le'Veon Bell when Bell missed time, whether due to injury or suspension. If you remember, it was D'Angelo Williams. Then they move on from Le'Veon Bell. James Connor was the guy. And then when Connor gets hurt, they go with another guy, you know, it's just one after the next without a lot of shared work. But now I think we got a situation where you got 2 talented running backs. So this is going to be a telling game because you have Connor not at 100% and Snell coming off that strong performance. So I think we'll see a little bit of a, you know, shared situation, but probably like a 70-30 split. So if Connor's out there, you still play him. But you absolutely should hold on to Benny Snell because, like you said, Connor's banged up already. He's got such a horrible track record with injuries, which sucks for him because he's been so good when he's on the field. But it's just the nature of the game. So if you think of guys like Alexander Mattison and Tony Pollard and Chase Edmonds, and these guys that if they ever get the opportunity to be a starter,
right,
you can get great production out of it. We call those lottery tickets. You've already seen it in person. You know, it happened in a game already. You know, so you know that if James Conner misses time, Benny Snell is going to be a star.
How do you view the situation in Los Angeles with Malcolm Brown, who had a very good week one, and a first-round pick that, or not a first-round pick, but a guy that people were very high on in fantasy world in Cam Akers, who got some touches in the game, but I think there was a hope that he would be the featured back. How do you see the Malcolm/Cam Akers situation kind of evolving in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I still think he'll be the guy there. And, you know, this is the unfortunate situation of the times that we're living in, especially for the NFL when there was no preseason and very little offseason. You know, this was their first NFL action for a lot of these guys. So we got spoiled on the first Thursday night game when the rookie running back, the Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, came shooting out of a cannon and was just awesome. But guys like Cam Akers, you know, another rookie that I like a lot, Antonio Gibson, DeAndre Swift, you know, this was their first NFL action. And, you know, so the encouraging thing for Akers is, as great as Malcolm Brown played, he had 18 carries. Akers still had 14. I don't know how many games we're going to get where the Rams are getting 32, you know, carries from their running backs, their two primary running backs at least. But the thought all along was Akers was going to be worked into the mix and then eventually, you know, hopefully taking over the job. And Sean McVay said after the game that Malcolm Brown, the way that he played, surprised them a little bit because they thought maybe they'd get some guys getting other work, you know, with Daryl Henderson as well. So what I would do if you like to win in fantasy football is you pick up Malcolm Brown. You trade him to somebody who needs a running back this week. You know, maybe the Le'Veon Bell owner, somebody's dealing with an injury that's a flex option because a lot of wide receivers banged up. And then you try to get something that can help you long term, because I don't think Malcolm Brown's going to ever do that again. And eventually, right, Cam Akers is going to take over the job. And on the flip side of that, you try to trade for Cam Akers if you started out 1-0, you feel like you're going to be 2-0, because he may not have a great game again this week, but eventually he's going to be the guy for the Rams.
Interesting. We're talking to Jamie Eisenberg, fantasy football. All right. Start sit question with Miles Sanders. It went in week one from he may play, but he's going to be limited, to he doesn't play at all. Now he's going to play. It sounds like the ball will be in his hands plenty. Do you start him? How do you kind of handle Miles Sanders this week?
I think you start him, but obviously it's case specific. Like, for example, in a PPR league, I feel like Naheem Hines better. You know, just looking at the matchup he has against the Vikings and the fact that I think he's going to catch the ball as much as he will. But that's, you know, rare, and probably most people, when they look at it, they say, I drafted Miles Sanders in the first or second round, and I maybe just picked up 90 minds off the waiver wire. So your mind tells you to start Miles Sanders, and I get that. They're back-to-back in my ranking, so start Miles Sanders to be safe. But there's a lot to like about what his role is and should be, and we're going to find out. You know, they had Devontae Freeman in for a visit at the end of the week, so they may sign him, but I think that's more of an indication of Corey Clement and Boston Scott than it is Miles Sanders, because all you've heard all offseason, and you saw it at the end of last year, he is the first guy that has a chance to be a feature guy for the entire season, or at least the last 15 games in Doug Peterson's era. You know, he's tried to find a guy. You know, you remember their Super Bowl run? They went and got Jay Ajayi. You know, they tried with Jordan Howard last year. He wasn't healthy. You know, they want to have a guy. And Miles Sanders is, I think, that guy based on the way that he finished last year. So for this week, I'm starting him, not a number one running back like he was drafted to be, but a high-end number two guy, and I think you should feel happy that you have him back.
All right. Locally, we've talked a lot about Saquon Barkley. I think in most leagues, he was a top two, top three pick in most leagues, kind of expecting that monster year in year three. Obviously, week one it didn't go well. And there's a couple of things that can change. They went up against a very good defense in the Steelers, and the offensive line needs time to gel. Concern level for those out there that drafted Saquon Barkley.
Not concerned at all. You know, I mean, that was as tough a defense as you will find. Hopefully that's the toughest matchup. You know, the Bears are going to be a formidable opponent. But, you know, the takeaway for me, honestly, was the six catches and the fact that even though they were taking points at the end, that they were splitting him out wide. Because if they're going to use him as a receiver like that, or at least a pass catcher like that, that's the encouraging thing. So I don't buy into that he can't pass protect. You know what? I don't want him to pass protect. I want him running routes. I want him carrying the ball. I want him doing all those things that are going to put the ball in his hands. He could pass protect fine enough. I think you're going to see, you know, a big bounce back performance from him. He's too good. And so the reason I said the concern was the passing game, because what we saw from him as a rookie, you know, when he was 80 catches, the thought was Daniel Jones runs, obviously more so than Eli Manning. But don't bother to be there. I think they'll be just fine in that regard. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Saquon Barkley. Again, if you like to win in fantasy, you approach the Saquon Barkley owner and say, I'll trade you Chris Carson and a wide receiver for Saquon Barkley. You'll be better off as the season goes on.
Yes. Jamie Eisenberg, we're talking and we get ready for week two of your fantasy football year. Was week one from Aaron Rodgers a sign of things to come, that this could be a huge fantasy year in your mind for Aaron?
I hope so, you know, because and it's funny because I was down on him. I don't think a lot of people were excited about Aaron Rodgers, just looking at the way the offseason unfolded. No wide receiver coming in, and the one guy that they did bring in, the wide receiver significant, the one guy that they bring in is Devin Funchess. We know he opted out because of concerns over COVID. They bring in another running back, so, you know, you think, okay, they're going to be a little bit more ground and pound and not maybe make Rodgers a game manager, but sort of trending in that direction. That was only the third time in the 17 games he's played for Matt LaFleur that he had more than 40 pass attempts. And I think it's the only time of the two that he had last year in the one in week one where they were playing with the lead. So the fact that they let him throw to that level was exciting. The fact that he had two guys step up behind Devontae Adams was exciting, with Alan Lazard and Mark Lazada-Scantling. So maybe they did have a plan that they felt comfortable enough with those guys that they can make plays, and they showed that in week one. So we'll see what what happens moving forward. I think you still put Rodgers in the sell high category because of what we saw last year. But you got to be really encouraged if you got him as late as you did, because he fell more than ever Aaron Rodgers ever fallen in a fantasy draft before. And so if this is the guy that we're going to get, he might as well put his name on the MVP, because he's going to be there because of how well he plays and the reputation that he has. And you're going to be great in your fantasy team. But I still would have some reservations that's what we're going to see all season long.
If Michael Thomas doesn't play, and it doesn't look like he's going to play on Monday, and it'd be smart to kind of hold off if you're the Saints. Emmanuel Sanders seems to be the guy that is the instant benefactor. So do you start him? And obviously case-by-case basis, depending on the depth that you have. But how aggressive, I guess, would you be in starting Emmanuel Sanders if Thomas isn't out there on Monday night?
I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, he's like 6. So he's a good start in a 3-receiver league. He's a borderline start in a 2-receiver league. And again, it comes down to who you have. But we got a lot of wide receivers missing. We're banged up. A.J. Brown, Kenny Galladay, Cortland Sutton's a game-time decision. So there's a lot of people that are scrambling for wide receiver help. He may not play with the concussion. So he's definitely in play. Had a good game, not a great game. Three catches, scored a touchdown, but only 15 yards receiving in the week one game against Tampa. But that's a really, really tough matchup. So I think you look at it. See, this is where Sean Payton, I think, may get a little cute, because he doesn't have Michael Thomas, so we could see a lot more of the Taysom Hill packages. I hope that they'll lean on their run game, with Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. And Jared Cook is still one of the better tight ends in football, so he'll have an opportunity to make some plays also. So I don't think it's all of a sudden Michael Thomas is out, Emmanuel Sanders gets those 10 to 15 targets that we typically see in Michael Thomas' direction. But this is obviously a boost for Emmanuel Sanders, who was the guy that a lot of people wrote off just based on his age and the Achilles injury a couple of years ago. But now is a chance to bounce back and play well.
Who would you rather have on your roster right now, O.J. Howard or Rob Gronkowski?
I can't believe what I'm about to say, but O.J. Howard. Gronk is going to probably work his way into being more of a factor. And again, Godwin's injury will help. I also think, I always look for these kind of like statement moment type of games. So it's Brady's first game in Tampa. I know it's not going to have the same feel because of the fans, but first game for Gronk in Tampa, so it's always let's show off the new toy. And there's a squeaky wheel game coming for Brady after he didn't look good in a tough matchup against Tampa Bay. Now he gets an easy matchup against Carolina. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gronk scores and, we get the Gronk spike and all those fun things that come along with it. But long-term, what we kind of heard going into it was Howard was going to play more, probably more catches, probably more yards, and the thing that would save Gronk would be his touchdowns. And I think that's what we saw in week one and could probably play out all year.
What defense, give me a few defenses so people have options on who to stream this week for a defense that you'd pick up going into Sunday.
Yeah, it's a pretty good week. You can look at Tampa Bay's defense. I don't think they get the credit that they deserve for how they finished last year, but that secondary is great. Their run defense is great, and they're playing Carolina. Green Bay gets Detroit without Galladay, and so that defense at home, those pass rushers will make things tough on Matthew Stafford. The Cardinals defense, everybody's looking at the Washington-Philadelphia game from a week ago and saying Philly's offense was terrible. Their defensive line got after Carson Wentz. Washington's offense isn't good, so they got to go on the road and play Carolina with Chandler Jones. But I think Dwayne Haskins is going to have a hard time making some plays there, so I like the Cardinals a lot. And then Tennessee, if they're still out there, I know Jacksonville had the upset victory against the Colts, but that's still an offense that's probably going to struggle. And I think as now Jadeveon Clowney gets his feet underneath him a little bit, they'll be able to put some pressure on Gardner Minshew and create some turnovers.
Jamie, appreciate it. Good luck with your teams this week. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Jamie. Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com. Hopefully some of that advice will help you as you get set for week two in your fantasy football season. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. I'll get to the NBA coming up at 1 o'clock. We're here until 2 this afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.